Hey everyone, it's Libby. Welcome back to The Social Work Student. It's so good to be back here and creating more content for you and creating more episodes. And I'm excited because it is Social Work Month. March is Social Work Month. And so obviously this whole month we're going to be talking about social work, what social workers can do, myths about social work, and I'm going to be interviewing some people with social work degrees and kind of seeing where their journeys took them. Very excited for this month, and I'm excited to kind of give you an update on some things, and I'm just excited to be here with you all. So without further ado, let's get started. All right, everyone. So just some quick updates. If you follow me on Instagram, I did post a video just kind of explaining what's been going on and why I haven't been sharing or posting a lot of podcasts or content. And one of the things is that there was a kind of a shift in my job. So just to kind of give a very basic overview is we serve a very large area. We serve, I think, like 8 counties in our state, and like well over 7,000 people. So we are usually assigned to different like geo regions, and that's the area that we serve. And my geo region had changed over the last couple of months, and it just became like a permanent thing that I was officially switching geo regions. I am now also working one day in an elementary school with some littles. And so there's been a lot of fun changes that have happened in my career, and just some things that I felt I really needed to put my energy towards and my time, and just making sure that I could be the best provider that I could be. And so that's kind of what's been happening in that area. And it's been a very exciting change. And I will talk more about that later on, but just wanted to give you a quick update on that. All right. So to kick off Social Work Month, I first wanted to share a quick little tidbit. I got this from the NASW official site, and it is a statistic from last year. So I don't have the updated statistic, but in the United States, social workers account for 700,000 jobs. 700,000 jobs. That is amazing. I think it's a true testament to how broad and diverse this field can be. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people just assume social work is, and we're going to talk more about this today, is that like all we do is work in social services or like child protection. Like that's the only thing social workers do. And I think that by looking at that statistic, it's, again, just truly shows how different our work can look like from even one another. I mean, you go into a program with 20, 30 people, and you all have different ideas of how you would like to utilize your degree and your talents. And I think that just looking at that number, again, really just shows all the different things you can do in this field. And obviously we'll talk more about that later down the line, but today we are going to get into some common myths about social work. Okay, so common myth number one, and I did kind of pull some of these in my very first social work class. It was called Intro to Social Welfare. We actually had to write papers about what others perceived social work as. And a lot of this is from that paper, and as well as kind of gathering info from outside resources as well. So the first common myth is that all you do is take kids. That's all you do. All you do is take kids. And I, you know, my first experience in like a social work job was actually child protection. And so that was very common thing I heard personally, just because I was working in CPS. I was doing intake though. And, you know, if you're not familiar with CPS, there are different positions within that unit. So like I worked in intake. So if there was a report, I was the person who took down the information, who did kind of like the interview, gathered what was necessary to either screen in or screen out the report. And, you know, so that it goes to intake, and then if it's screened in, it goes into someone who investigates or assesses the situation. And then they're the ones who kind of decide, like, you know, is this a, do we need to go to court for this? Is this something that needs like parent support, things like that? And then the next step would be ongoing case management. But just like that, you're lumped into one. If you say you're in CPS, or even if you say you're a social worker, you're lumped into one idea, and that's you take kids away. And I think that alone needs its own episode, just because, first of all, CPS is so different across this whole country. You know, in my state, we have, if there does need to be a removal, we're escorted by police who actually do the harder part of the job. And it's a judge that decides if a removal is necessary. We essentially gather the information, present it to a judge, and then they're the ones who make the final decision. So it's really not even, you know, CPS that was making the decision. It was a judge assisted by police, which, again, we can get in a whole nother topic about that. But I think just that is one of the biggest phrases I hear when I say I'm in social work. I actually don't even say I'm in social work anymore, but when I first was in saying I was in social work, that's what I got. And then I ended up working in CPS, and that was just the very common phrase that I've heard. Okay, so the second common myth on social work is that every job we do is depressing or draining. And I think that any job anywhere could be draining of your energy, because all jobs experience stress. All jobs experience feelings of, you know, being overwhelmed or exhausted or just, you know, drained. And I think that whenever like a social worker is portrayed in like a movie or a TV show, you know, they're running in late, their hair kind of looks like a disarray, they don't look super put together, and they just look like that they're just like wiped out from whatever has been going on. And I think that while there are aspects to this field that can be very draining, no matter what part you work in, whether it's with kids, with the elderly population, juveniles, corrections, really anything, schools even, your energy is going to be drained because our jobs require us to be fully present, fully there, assessing, identifying, and working through problems with the people we serve. And that's taxing. That can be very taxing on your energy and your mental health. But I could say that working literally anywhere right now, if you're a frontline worker, you have a very probably draining job. Because the demands are very high. We're being put in situations that we're not used to. Literally at any point, a job can be draining, but depressing. I think I take that a little to heart. How do I put this? So, you know, there are jobs and tasks and requirements of us that can very well bring us down. Like I work as a child and family therapist, and there are times where, not just because of the work, but because I just feel insecure about what I'm doing, that it does bring my energy levels down, and it does kind of feel depressing at times because it's like, what am I doing wrong that isn't able to serve my population and the people I'm working with? And, you know, I think anyone in this field can have that at any time. But that's to just generalize and say that all of our jobs are draining and depressing, I think is a little stretch. There are times where, yes, you are feeling that, but it's not a constant thing. I think that's kind of a big turnoff when people think of our work, because they're like, well, I don't want to be overwhelmed and burnt out within like my first 6 months of working. It's like, well, if you have good supervision, if you have supportive colleagues, and you're doing work that you enjoy and want to grow into, you know, that can help kind of reduce, not eliminate, but reduce those feelings. So the next one, we kind of talked about this at the beginning of the episode, but it's the myth that you can only work in social services. And while social service agencies offer large and diverse areas of the field to work in. You can work in, like I said, child protection, there's children's mental health case management, there's adult mental health case management, substance use case management, Rule 25, things like that. But of course, there are different things that you can do with a social work degree. Like I have a close friend who works as a hospital discharge planner. I have a friend who's a supervisor at a nursing home. I have a friend who works as a school social worker. My dad owns his own company where they serve people with differences in cognitive abilities, differences in developmental abilities, people with mental health illnesses, and people who've experienced traumatic brain injuries. So it's so cool that you can serve so many different populations in different areas of work. You can be, like I said, corrections. I remember I applied for a job working as a case manager, helping people who were in like the juvenile detention system. And we're kind of getting to that 18, 19 years of age. I applied for a job where essentially I would be doing case management to assist them in finding jobs, kind of, integrating them back into society so that they could feel supported, and help them, you know, move forward. And that would have been a really fun job. But then I ended up taking my current job. So again, there's nothing wrong with working in social services. I'm also so sick and tired of this negative stigma of people who work in social services. I work very closely with children's mental health case managers, and honestly, they help me do my job better because, you know, we're able to work collaboratively as a team and with the family so that the family is getting those wraparound services. And again, I'm so sick and tired of this negative stigma of people who work in social services. So please don't look down on people who work in those in social services. They do lots of hard work, and their job is very much needed. So that was my quick rant on that. All right. So one of the last myths I wanted to go over, and this is not necessarily about social workers directly, but it's about therapy. And I got this from angelo.edu, and it says, for therapy, you need to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And obviously, I am a testament that you don't need to be either of those to do therapy. And on this website, it says, professional social workers are the nation's largest providers of mental health and therapy services, which I think is amazing. I didn't even know that. And I think that's so cool. I think that I remember I first wanted to go into psychology. Like I thought I had to be a psychologist to do therapy. And my mom, who is a licensed clinical social worker, is like, nope, you don't need to go to into psychology to do that. She's like, you can do therapy and become a clinical social worker with less amount of school than, you know, like a doctorate of psychology requires, because they do lots of research, they do lots of dissertations and things like that. It's just an ongoing program, which is awesome. If you want to do that, I think that's so cool. I am someone who is not great with research. I like math, like I said, math and science are not my thing. So that would have been a very hard field for me to go into. But I think it's just, you know, I surprise people when I say like I have a master's in social work and I'm doing therapy, because it's so common that like only psychologists can do therapy. And it's like, we provide more mental health services as social workers in that aspect of the field. And I think that, you know, people are like, well, I want to do therapy, but I don't want to go to school for 8 years. It's like, well, you don't have to go to school for 8 years. With a social work degree. And again, I'm not here to bash on any other degrees or fields or anything like that. I just think that, you know, people either want to do therapy, but they don't know that there are different avenues of becoming a therapist. I mean, outside of social work, there's also marriage and family therapy, like a licensed marriage and family therapist, or a licensed practicing clinical counselor. I can't remember the, like a psychology, excuse me, counseling psychology degree, and you can get your LPCCC. Lots of acronyms and letters. I'm sorry. So I mean, even outside of psychology and outside of social work, there are other avenues to become a therapist. And I think that it just, kind of seeing what best fits you and your needs and what you're wanting to get out of your time in school can kind of help navigate exactly which career path you would like to go down. But obviously, all of those can end up as becoming a therapist. So, and another thing that I've kind of learned in my work is that there are insurance companies who don't reimburse other professions like they do social work. For an example, I know Medicare will only allow licensed clinical social workers to provide therapy to someone or a family. So not LMFTs, not LPCCCs, which there is an ongoing arguments and fights so that those other professions can do therapy, because I think that just is a disadvantage to people looking for services, because if an insurance company only allows licensed clinical social workers to provide that, but perhaps there isn't someone who could, like that's just a disadvantage to the people who are seeking services. So again, that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah, I mean there you can do therapy with a clinical social work license and a master's. So just keeping that in mind if that's some a field that you're interested in going into. All right, and the last one that I wanted to go over, this one is also from angelo.edu. It says that social service employees, caseworkers, and volunteers are quote unquote social workers, and that's the myth. And a lot of states have what's called title protection laws, and so if you're not a social worker, you can't call yourself a social worker. Like if you're working in a social service job and you have maybe like a criminal justice degree or a psychology degree, you can't call yourself a social worker. And in the state that I live in, if you are working in a job that requires a social work degree, you have a social work degree, but you don't have a license, you can actually get fined for that. And I think that's just a way to protect the profession, because so often we do get lumped into these situations. And, anyone who works at, human services is a social worker, which, I understand that for some people it's just easier to do that. It's easier to just lump us all together. But, I work in a state that values the profession and values the work that we do. So we have these laws in place to protect our titles, as well as, holding people to high standards that if you have a degree and you're working in a job that requires a social work degree, you need to have a license because you're a professional. You need to be professional and you need to have that on hand. And there are other states that do have title protections. I don't know exactly how many. That's probably something I should do more research on. But just, respect the work, respect the profession. Respect to the work that people do, because it's like we talked about earlier, it can be taxing. And I'm again just glad that I work for a state that values the work and values the profession and understands that it needs to be protected at all costs. So that's kind of the wrap up of our episode today. There will be more this month just because obviously it is Social Work Month. So we want to celebrate that and we want to talk more about the profession and just, kind of offer more insight to what we do, what you can do, what you can't do as a social worker. And just, really celebrate this profession all month because that's what it's here for. I want to thank you all for hopping on today and taking a listen. Please follow me on Instagram at the.social.work.student. I will link that in the description box. And again, just very excited to be back, very excited to be here with all of you. And happy Social Work Month to all my social workers and all my social work students. All right, thanks everyone.